A few years ago, a team of American sociologists published a book called The Paradox of Generosity. It was based on some research that was conducted into the science of giving. The team surveyed 2,000 individuals over a five-year period, so quite a long study. They also tracked the spending habits and the lifestyles of 40 families from different classes, different ethnic backgrounds, and different parts of the country. They even went so far as going with people to the supermarket to see what was going on when they shopped and spent money. The research found that people who are generous are happier and healthier than those who are less generous. Their definition of generosity was broad. They were looking at people who give financially to others. They were looking at giving time by volunteering. And they were also looking at something that they called relational generosity, basically that willingness to make yourself available for someone else or doing something for others like offering hospitality. So for those of you who do research for a living or have expertise in research, and I'm looking at going, a few of you do, so I know you're already going, what was the premise of this research? How did it work? The most notable thing that they found is that they didn't just find a correlation between generosity and happiness. They established a causation. So the sustained practice of generosity, and it had to be a sustained practice, it wasn't just a one-off event, actually makes you happier and improves your mental health, which in turn impacts on your physical health. And interestingly, the happier you are, the more generous you become. Although there must be an end point in that cycle, otherwise you'd be giving absolutely everything away, which might generate issues of its own. But at the moment in church, we are focusing a little bit on our church finances. So if you were here last week, we did a finance update. We're giving out sheets that say finance update on them. We'll share a bit more about that today and next week. And we want to do that so that people know a bit about what's happening behind the scenes. Not everybody has grown up in the Church of England. You may not have a clue about how giving and finance works in the Church of England. So we just want to sort of share where we are. And as part of that, we thought it was important to think about giving and to think in particular about a Christian perspective on giving. Now, I know some people feel a bit uncomfortable talking about money and giving in church. Imagine being the preacher, it's far worse for me. And I know that there are some people who feel embarrassed about the part of the service where we take up an offering and we pass the collection plate around. For some people, they just find that a little bit sort of crass to do. But actually, we do those things because giving is part of being a Christian. It's not something that's an optional extra. It's just one of the ways in which we express and live out our faith. So I've decided just to be really sort of honest today. So this is part of who we are. So I don't want to be embarrassed talking about it, but I do recognize that some people are a bit like, ooh, it's church and we're talking about money. But for the next few minutes, I want to look at that passage from 2 Corinthians, and I want to offer some principles for Christian giving that I think emerge from it. Now, just so you're aware about a bit of background, 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was a letter that was sent to some of the earliest Christian churches. It was a circular letter, so it was addressed to the Christians in Corinth, but what they would have done is they'd have read it out during a service, and then they'd have passed it on to their neighboring church in the next town or village. And that was a way of sharing teaching about some of the core principles of being a Christian. And that means that the content of this letter was specific to the original recipients, but it also includes some general principles that we can apply to being a Christian today. So part of the purpose of reading a letter like that is to sort of say what's specific to them, what's general, and can be applied to us. Now, people what are clever say that chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians were probably originally standalone letters. And what has happened is somebody has grouped them together with another letter and they've got a sort of compilation letter of here's some of the things that Paul said about this time. And probably originally chapters 8 and 9 were what we might call charity appeal letters. They were sent with that express purpose of raising money. From about AD 45, the Christians in Jerusalem, who were one of the first and the earliest Christian communities, were coping with extreme poverty. That was due to a famine. It was also due to the fact they were being on the receiving end of double taxation and there was overpopulation. And it had crippled what was already a precarious economy. Just the sorts of things we hear about today in other parts of the world where economies are fragile. So Paul was writing to other Christian communities to basically say, can you please support the Christian community back in Jerusalem at what we might call the mother church? So what we get, so that's a bit of background, just so you know where I'm taking this from, because I think it's important to understand the original context, but also how we might read it today as well. So let's have a look at what we can take from it. The first thing I picked out is that giving is an expression of thanks to God for his gift to us. So in verse 15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And obviously the gift he's referring to is Jesus. And earlier in verse 12, he says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." So the motivation for giving isn't duty, nor is it guilt, but it comes from a place of gratitude. Giving recognizes that God first sent his Son to be our Savior. It recognizes that that cost him his life, but God gave his Son and Jesus poured out himself for us. And it's as if that generosity on God's part creates a chain of generosity. So I imagine it a bit like those towers of champagne glasses you might have seen pictures where the top glass is filled up with champagne and then it overflows and it fills up the second layer of glasses and they overflow and they fill up the third layer and so on until every glass is overflowing. That's, for me, is an image of generosity where Christ pours himself out. We are overflowing with that goodness of God and it flows out to others. So that's the first thing. It comes from gratitude and it comes from gift. The second principle that comes out in the passage is that giving is done in the confidence that God is the provider. In verse 10, Paul says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed." Beginning in Genesis and throughout the whole Bible, we are reminded that God is the creator. The Genesis story tells us that God created the world and then he entrusted the world to the people that he'd created to work it and to care for it. And the Bible calls that stewardship, and it comes from this story, and it reminds us that God entrusts his creation to us. We become co-workers with him in caring for our world and caring for all that he's made. So yes, it may be us that sow the seed, but the seed comes from God, who's the author of life. So when it comes to giving, some of us might think that we are giving away our money, but a biblical perspective would disagree with that because it would teach that actually all of these resources are God's resources that he entrusts to us. It's a bit like me giving my daughter £50 and saying, "Can you go and buy a pair of school shoes, please? I hope she will come home with school shoes and not nail varnish and mascara." But it's the same idea, that idea that God entrusts his resources to us and he hopes that we will use them wisely and in line with his purposes and in line with his character. The third principle that comes out of this passage is that generous giving enriches the giver as well as blessing the recipient. Interestingly, what the Bible teaches in this passage is exactly what the research has found in that book, The Paradox of Generosity. So in verses 10 and 11, Paul says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way." The riches that Paul is talking about here are not the sort that show up in your bank statement. Sorry to disappoint you with that. This is not what is called a prosperity gospel. The message of this passage is not the more money you give, the more money you get back. I do not believe that is something that comes from this teaching. What he's talking about is our characters being enriched by giving. Or to put it another way, giving leads to personal growth. It makes you a better person. I looked up yesterday and found that in the USA, the market for self-improvement products and programs is worth $9.9 billion. People want to be good people. People want to grow as humans. People want to be the best version of themselves. And what the Bible teaches is, if you want to do that, then give. At the start of the passage, Paul says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." I've sort of sat with that phrase a little bit this week, because initially I read it and it felt maybe a little bit coercive. Is Paul trying to manipulate us into giving? But I've come to the conclusion it's a common sense statement. It's actually saying what we all often know to be true. The more you put in is the more you'll get out. And I think it's as simple as that. I don't think it's meant to be a manipulative way of saying, hey, if you invest in God, he'll pay big dividends. But I think it is this sense of the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. The final thing that emerges from this passage is that giving should be intentional. In verse 7, he says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Last year, people in the UK donated £10.3 billion to charity. And we are constantly being asked to give. I'm sure if you reflect over the past week, you have quite possibly had letters, emails, you've had somebody shake a bucket at you in the street, you've walked past perhaps somebody who's homeless selling the big issue. We're constantly being asked to give to others. And it's very easy to react to those requests, to put your hand in the pocket and to put some coins in a bucket. But what Paul is describing here is different, because he's urging people to think about what they can give. Obviously, in this context, it's to give to those in need in Jerusalem. But he's saying, think about what you can give and then take a decision. So this is proactive, intentional giving, rather than just that reactive putting a hand in the pocket and then putting what you've got in the plate as it passes. In many churches now, intentional giving is encouraged by asking people to set up standing orders. And I know in our two churches, about half of our congregation give by standing orders. And if you don't currently give in that way, it might be something you want to think about. Because as I say, it enables you to pause and decide and then make a commitment, and it's much more intentional. Paul says each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Now, some of you will be aware of the Christian principle of tithing. It might be that you've grown up in a setting where you learnt about that when you were younger. And that comes from the Old Testament, and it's the idea that people in God's family would give away a tenth of their income or a tenth of their resources, again, out of gratitude and out of recognition that God's the provider. But I find it really interesting that here in this New Testament letter sent to all these new churches, Paul doesn't say each of you should give away a tenth of what you have. Now, a tenth can be a helpful guiding principle. It sort of gives you a starting point. But it can also be an unhelpful figure as well. Because I am aware of people who, if they gave away 10%, the 90% is not enough to live on. I'm also aware of people who can give away 10%, and the 90% is way more than enough to live on. In which case, perhaps 10% is unhelpful and 15% or 50% might be a more challenging figure. So I really like what Paul says here, because I think it's pragmatic. It's not a rule to follow, and I'm not a great fan of rules. There's something that just says, think about it. So use your common sense and then make a decision. And I don't believe that God wants us to get into debt by setting a figure. I think it's got to be realistic. And also, Paul says, you know, think about what you can give, come to a decision, do it. And he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And again, I don't think giving should make us feel bad. In fact, if giving makes us feel bad, that probably means we shouldn't give, or we're giving the wrong amount. For me, when I've given the right amount, I feel good. My spirit soars. I feel free. I feel happy with who I am. I think that's a hallmark of sort of healthy giving. If you feel awful about giving or it isn't enough, I don't think that comes from God, personally. And as I say, that's why I think Paul is really smart here, just saying, you think about it in your heart. It's none of your neighbor's business. It's absolutely between you and God and what is right. There's loads more I could say on giving, because the Bible says an awful lot about both money and generosity. I'm also aware, as I said earlier, that for some of us it's quite uncomfortable talking about this. And definitely as the preacher, oh my goodness, it's really uncomfortable. And oh, does it make you go back to your bank statement to just say, am I all right to give this sermon? Or might I need to just think a little bit again about this? But my purpose this morning is, for those perhaps who've grown up in a Christian setting and you know about giving, it's more of a, we're just reminding people, saying, come back to it, think again. And for those perhaps who haven't heard this before, it's just a way of saying, let me introduce you to some of the thinking that goes on for Christians when it comes to giving. So that's what I wanted to offer this morning, that idea of giving coming from gratitude at God's gift to us, giving recognizing that God is the provider, and then giving that comes from that desire to be enriched as well as enrich others, and it being intentional. Let's maybe take a moment to just to pause on that, see what sticks with you, what's been helpful to hear, but I don't need to take it further this week, and just allow God, if he wants to come and prompt us. Amen.